All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Just a Girl from Cleveland. I am ecstatic this episode because for real this time, not like sort of in the last couple months where there's like a golf tournament here or there. I was talking about NASCAR, which I know literally nothing about. Sports are really back. Like, they are actually back this time until the MLB, I'm sure, at some time will completely blow it. But for now, as I am speaking at this moment and posting this episode on August 3rd, sports are happening. So I am super thrilled about that and am excited to have some more actual content to talk to you guys about this episode. I want to start off with a couple of random topics before we get into what is happening in some of the actual leagues right now, some of my takes on what's going on in baseball, football, and basketball. Wanted to first talk about Mike Golick. So you definitely, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, have heard me talk about Mike Golick some, but more importantly, my dad, when he has been on, talk about his love for listening to Mike Golick over the years. You know, Northeast Ohio guy, and it's just been so great to have him see him have so much success. Just being a guy from Cleveland, and his last day on ESPN Radio was July 31st. He's been doing it for a very, very, very long time. There were a couple clips out there that you should definitely look for of him with his family on either his last day or one of his last few days, and his kids were just talking about how much they have respected the work that their dad has done over the years and how he still always made a point to be there for them and their sports and their activities and what they were passionate about in their lives, and that he was just the best dad even as his career was accelerating beyond his wildest dreams. So it was really, really nice to see that, and definitely sad to see him moving on from ESPN Radio, but I'm sure when you're that ingrained in sports and sports have been that much a part of your life, you never really go away. I'm sure he'll pop in as a guest here or there on some shows. He'll have a little taste for it here and there, but definitely wanted to bring that up. Another kind of random interesting thing that happened in the last few weeks was that Serena Williams' daughter became the youngest team owner in pro sports. She is 2, and she is a part owner of the NWSL expansion team, Angel City. So I guess there are like a ton of other women who are a part of buying in this deal here, to get this team, which is super, super badass, and it definitely deserves some recognition, because it's not that often you see a group of women get together and buy a team in any sport, so I just think it's really great. Okay, now to get into some of the sports-specific topics. Going to start off with the NFL. I feel like I haven't recorded in a while, so some of these things I'm going to talk about happened a few weeks ago, but still definitely relevant. So there's been quite a bit going on with the now Washington football team. So if you haven't seen, the previously known as the Washington Redskins are getting rid of their team name because of the racist implications with the name. So they are moving on to look for another name, but have not decided that. So they are calling themselves the Washington football team right now, which is ridiculous. Like, just pick a name. Literally anything. Pick a name. I think they should do Red Wolves, but literally just pick a name. It's not that hard. I know they have to get through trademarks and whatever, but literally just figure it out quickly, because nobody wants to be called the Washington football team. It just sounds ridiculous. And it was funny, though, LeBron was tweeting something about how ridiculous it is that they're called the Washington football team. And everyone was like, yo, LeBron, you named your child LeBron James Jr. Like, that's the least original thing you could have come up with by just giving him your name. So let's not hate. And I had to laugh at that. As much as I love LeBron, I thought that was pretty funny. The other thing that's been happening within this team in general is what has come out as a climate of sexual assault and, you know, women speaking out who have previously worked in that organization. Some of them mentioned in the reports I was reading there were stairwells that they would avoid walking up for reasons of men looking under their dresses and their skirts, and just many other really disgusting stories. So they've really been taking all of the bad news lately within this franchise, and it brought up a lot of conversations about how it is for women working in sports. And you know, it's really unfortunate that these women had such an awful experience working there, because I'm sure it's something that they probably dreamed of doing their whole life. Especially for women who are in sports, you usually have to kind of prepare yourself like 10 times over to prove that you know what you're talking about in order to work in sports, because people are constantly doubting your knowledge and what you know and what you bring to the table and questioning it. So you have to be kind of on top of things more. And I'm sure they worked really hard to get to where they were, and to have it be like that is super disappointing. And I hope it doesn't deter other women from wanting to be in sports, because they're nervous about, you know, what could potentially happen to them if they do, because sports are supposed to be this inspiring, amazing world, welcoming of people from all different backgrounds. And so it's really upsetting when you hear these stories coming out of this kind of old boys culture that still exists, not just in sports, in corporate America, in just America in general, and it's really disappointing. So I hope it doesn't deter people from wanting to work in sports, because it can be a great world, but it's really unfortunate when these stories come out. Okay, so for important things to know on crushing brewskis in the Muni lot, which I have not done in a long time, I realized someone brought it up to me the other day, and it kind of fell off either during the off season or everything with COVID and kind of stopping. So haven't done it in a while, but back at it. Miles Garrett has signed a 5-year extension for $125 million, I believe, with the Cleveland Browns, which is so exciting. I am super pumped about this. I think he deserves it. And any of the people who are still talking about his incident with Mason Rudolph and saying that he shouldn't be playing anymore, like, really need to get a grip on reality. And there are lots of people who have done a lot worse things than what Miles Garrett did. So I think, you know, we can move on from it now. He served more time than I think he even should have. So he's back and he's gonna get going. Another interesting thing that has been happening with the Browns lately, David Njoku, he's actually tweeted the other day about how he is going to be staying in Cleveland. He's excited, even though I want to say like a month or two ago, we all saw that he was asking for a trade, but then has since kind of changed his mind on that. I actually was supposed to, a couple months, maybe like 2 months ago, have him come on this podcast. So hoping that I can maybe get him to agree to coming on to talk about his return, not return, he was already here, but more so just his decision that he wanted to be here, you know, and his excitement for playing for the Cleveland Browns. So we'll see if I can make it happen. Gonna give it a go, but he was supposed to come on a while ago, so we'll see. Okay, last thing with the NFL, though. So I'm pretty frustrated on the lack of organization that has existed within the NFL decision-making during this offseason with everything with coronavirus. Players all tweeting things maybe a week or so ago, like, hey, we want to play, but nobody has a plan in place of how this is going to work. We really want to play, but we need leadership to figure this out. And it's just annoying because, first of all, they've had the time to watch the NBA figure things out. They've had the time to watch the MLB sort of figure things out. They haven't quite gotten their act together completely, but at least they have time to learn from mistakes, things that worked, things that didn't. They didn't have to cut in the middle of a season of theirs like in the NBA. They had to figure out how to finish a season that was already happening pre-coronavirus. So it's even easier because they're not trying to say like, hey, how does this translate from a pre-coronavirus to a in the middle of a bubble without fans, with, you know, a different timetable. They don't have to figure any of that out. So it's really frustrating to see their lack of organization and leadership and the way that they have kind of not even, you know, let their players know what's going on. They've kept them in the dark a lot too, which I'm sure is really frustrating because I know they want to play, but you have to have the leadership there to figure it out. They've had so much time. Like they needed to be prepared for every single scenario to happen. I know nobody expected the coronavirus to be running rampant still right now, but it is. And they should have prepared for, okay, what happens if it's not there at all? Then we do a regular season. If the coronavirus is still sort of around, how do we handle it? How do we handle capacity? How do we handle testing? And then they needed to prepare for the scenario that we're in where it is kind of running everywhere in a lot of major cities, a lot of cities where they have teams. How are you going to handle it? And they didn't prepare. So it's definitely unsettling, but hopefully they can figure it out because we need football. We have to have it. All right. So getting into some MLB now. The Tribe is back, playing decent. I believe they are 5-4 now. Hitting has been poor. Offensively, we had maybe two decent games, but we haven't seen that much. But the pitching is just out of this world. Shane Bieber, I mean, he has been near perfect. I mean, he has just been so good. So that's why it's frustrating that we haven't been kind of matching that offensively because, man, when you have good pitching, that is like half the battle. So it is definitely frustrating, but it's been so fun to watch them play again. Very weird having like the random cutouts in the stands and stuff, but it seems like So far, so good, except for a couple things that have bothered me so far. Okay, so the rule for extra innings where they put a runner on second with no outs, it seems like lots of teams are going to use the same scenario of a bunt, sack fly type situation. So that feels kind of lame. I know they're trying to like speed up the games and whatever, especially with teams having to do doubleheaders when certain players on certain teams test positive, games are pushed back, schedules are all over the place. There's going to be a lot of, you know, back-to-back games, a lot of back-to-back playing. So I understand the frustration, but I just don't love the rule and I'm not really sure the right way to go about it. I'm nervous about the MLB season because I just don't know how they're going to finish it if teams don't do a better job of containing COVID. So the Marlins had a big outbreak and the Cardinals had some positive cases a couple days ago. And it's hard because then you mess up the schedule of your opponent. Their schedule probably has to change to, you know, fit some doubleheaders in. And at a certain point, if you have too many teams testing positive all at once and, you know, those players can't play, then you're really just messing it up for everyone else. And obviously the Marlins one wasn't super shocking because they were going out to bars and stuff in Atlanta and doing all these things without really a care. So hopefully they can get their act together because, you know, that the NBA is working because they're in a bubble. Like those players aren't leaving. They're behaving themselves and the MLB's not, you know, they're staying in their apartments or homes. They're not being watched 24/7, but you hope that they're not doing anything stupid because they could really mess it up for a lot of other people. And I know it sucks. Like it sucks to not be able to live your normal life, but nobody is right now. So kind of just have to deal with it and buckle down and get through it. So I really hope they do a better job, but honestly, the like I can't even put it fully on the players, because the leadership needs to come from the top down, and you're not getting that from Rob Manfred like you are getting it from Adam Silver in the NBA. I mean, those players in the NBA, they trust Adam Silver, and they are like proud to be under him, because one, he's very involved with them. He gives them a voice. He listens to them when they have things to say, when they have concerns. You're even seeing that with all of the social justice issues and how they're really working together with the players to figure out how they can talk about Black Lives Matter and how they can bring those things to light within their league while still having fun playing basketball, talking about the things that are important to them, whether it's the kneeling for the national anthem or all of the different commercials that they put together, and, you know, the kind of monologues of different players talking. I think it's all really great, and you can see that, like, there's a lot of respect between the players and between Adam Silver, and there is absolutely none of that between Rob Manfred and all of the players in the MLB. And it's not just because of how he's handled COVID. There's kind of the aftertaste of everything with the Astros, which we're kind of seeing play out as well during this season, which has been honestly the most exciting part. It's made everyone come together, and we have to talk about Joe Kelly. So Joe Kelly, I understand people saying, hey, you should never throw at a guy's head. I get that. But he did not hit him, and he is suspended for 8 games. Okay, 8 games is a lot of games, because if you think about in a regular season, that's the equivalent of being suspended for 21 games. So that feels a little bit extreme, considering we still have not reprimanded the cheaters. The Astros themselves have not been reprimanded, but we're okay with suspending Joe Kelly for that long. I get it. You should not, like, try to injure someone, especially, like, throwing a baseball at someone's head is not safe. It could probably kill you, but he didn't. Like, he didn't hit him. So I'm like, okay, it's fine. He didn't hit his head. There was an Instagram account out there that, if anyone's listening to this and saw this Instagram account, people were reposting it as if it was actually Joe Kelly's Instagram account, and it was basically, he was just like trolling everyone, and so much trash talk on it, and I'm like, there's no way this is real. But then I'm like, is it real? Because he seems like such a fiery guy, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder and a little bit of attitude, and so I'm like, okay, maybe this is his Instagram account, but I can't find the account anymore. It has been deactivated or deleted or whatever. So if someone can let me know if that was actually real, because I had people sending me pictures from it. I'm like, is this actually him? But either way, he is currently just an American hero, a legend. It is a little bit ironic that he was on the Red Sox team that cheated, but I'll ignore it because I just hate everything with the Astros so much that I'm like, fine, he might have been a part of another scenario. We don't really know. But at the same time, anything to put shame on the Houston Astros, I am all in for. They definitely are going to lead the league in most hit-by-pitch counts throughout the year, which I love it. I mean, I love it. It's great. Okay, so two other quick MLB things. Dr. Fauci throwing out the first pitch at the Nationals game. Like, he couldn't even get it a couple feet. It was so tough to watch. I mean, it was a cute little, like, honor that they did for him, and I thought that was a great idea. But, man, it wasn't good. Apparently, though, I was reading somewhere that he was, like, a scrappy little basketball player back in the day, which I could kind of see, like, maybe like throwing some elbows in there, because he doesn't have the height, so he's got to have the grit, you know? So I could see it. I could see him being like that, but definitely not a baseball player, because it was just not pretty. And then the last MLB thing is Alyssa Nakin, I think is how you pronounce her name. She is the first woman to coach on an on-field capacity during an MLB game. The San Francisco Giants first base coach. Super exciting. It's really, it kind of goes back to this whole women in sports thing, but it's really sad when I looked at the comments below the posts of you know, them saying, hey, this is like a great honor that the first woman to coach on an on-field capacity. Super exciting. People just in the comments like, well, is she qualified? Why do we have to talk about that? She's a woman. Just making a bunch of comments in that kind of area. And it's like, okay, one, what, like, why is every single comment saying is she qualified? Of course she's qualified. She would not have made it in that position. She's probably beyond more qualified than she even needed to be for it, because that's what it is being a woman in sports, especially in a male sport. Like, of course she's qualified. And secondly, we do have to bring up that it's a woman because it's the first time something like this ever happened. So it's a great honor and we should highlight it. And highlighting it even brings to the attention more that, like, it doesn't happen more often. And she should be proud of it and we should bring attention to it. So just it's always a reminder when you read all of the, and there are even worse comments underneath, just people saying horrible things. And it's really sad, and it's just a reminder that we have a long way to go, but, great to see a team making progress like that. And like I said, I am sure she is well and beyond qualified for the position. They would not put her out there in a professional sport if she wasn't, and I don't know why we're doubting it. Okay. So on to the NBA, my favorite part of the conversation. So the NBA bubble is working, guys. Like, NBA players are not testing positive. I believe they haven't had any positive cases since it had to be like earlier mid-July. It's been a while, which is amazing. Like I said, I think the relationship that the players have with their owners and with Adam Silver has proven to be really valuable in a time like this, because you need that good working relationship in order to kind of reach the common goal of how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this work? And they just seem to have it down to a science. They have, you know, reporters in there that also quarantined. They have, I believe the players' families are supposed to be able to start coming maybe the second round of the playoffs, and I'm sure they will have to quarantine before, you know, anything is allowed to happen there. But I think they've just done such a good job, and honestly, that's the safest place to be in the world right now is the NBA bubble, because nobody is testing positive. And it's been, like I said, so fun to watch. A couple random NBA things. First of all, Kyrie, he is committing $1.5 million to supplement the income of WNBA players who chose not to play this season for either COVID or social justice issues. And, you know, I definitely have my list of issues with Kyrie, mostly stemming from the way he talked about Cleveland after he left, which I've talked about on here before. He just kind of dissed us, even though we always loved him and supported him. So that was a little upsetting. I think he has learned a lot and grown a lot since then. So I try not to hold on to the hard feelings of it, because he did give us so many great memories and great years. But regardless of that, I think what he's doing is amazing. You know, the WNBA players obviously don't get a ton of attention, not nearly as close, obviously, to the attention that NBA players get. But a lot of them are out there doing so much work in their communities, and they don't get a lot of credit for it always, because they don't have the same fame put to their names and their faces as their, you know, male counterparts. So I just think it's really awesome that he's doing this, because he knows what they're doing. And part of me thinks it's a little bit of a tip of his hat to Kobe, and all the work Kobe was doing for women in sports and women basketball players specifically. I think this is a way for him to really help live out Kobe's legacy in a lot of ways, because I'm sure this is something that if Kobe was still around, I think it's something he would have wanted to do, or he would have wanted to help in some way to help those players out. So I do think that's really great, regardless of whatever issues I've had with Kyrie over time. Okay, next up we got LeBron. So first two games back, stat line was first game was 16-7-11 in the win against the Clippers. So not a great scoring game for him, really, but he did have, you know, a game-winning basket, I think, with 12 seconds left to secure the win, and then some defense on the other end. And then his second game in the loss to the Raptors, his stat line was 25-10, which, you know, still not like a crazy strong drop in 30-point scoring game. But, you know, a lot of people are kind of hating on how he hasn't scored a lot in literally two games, guys. We've been back for two games. And I'm sure he wanted to score more too, but you're literally forgetting that we're not in, like, playoff LeBron yet, right? We still got another, I think they have six more games until you hit playoff LeBron, which is a different LeBron. It is a different beast. And they're figuring out team chemistry. They have, you know, some new guys on the court with them, and one being JR. You know, they got to learn to mesh together. They're missing Rondo. Like, they're figuring things out. So I think people need to give it a second, but everyone loves to jump on his back as soon as he's not, like, perfect, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Like, relax. Other thing with the Lakers, though, if someone knows how I can be a virtual player, not player, a virtual fan on one of, like, the walls during these Lakers games, please let me know, because I just think if I could be out there, and LeBron would see that it would just motivate him, you know? He would know what he needed to do, like, hey, there's that girl that loves me. I'll do this for her. So if anyone knows how, you know, I can get involved in that, I think it's for season ticket holders. So if someone just wants to hand over that spot for me, if you're a Lakers season ticket holder, just let me know. Okay, so this will be my last thing, big NBA thing, is the NBA awards. So they are not counting any of the games happening in the bubble here towards the decision for who is going to win the NBA awards, which I think makes sense. And there's not that many games that they could count anyways. And like they said, it's not fair for the eight teams that aren't a part of the bubble. Not that any of them would be like strong candidates really to win the awards. It's not necessarily fair to do that. So I think that's the right move. I'm going to start with the MVP award. I know people are going to think I'm biased in saying this, but I do think LeBron should win the MVP award. I know a lot of people think Giannis should win. I know he's probably going to win. I think it should be LeBron. I talk about it every episode, so I don't even think I need to explain why, but he is the most valuable player to his team. When LeBron is on the court, the Lakers are second offensively in the league. When LeBron is not on the court, the Lakers are 28th offensively. So I think that tells you what you need to know, because, you know, I'll talk about a little bit later some stuff with Kawhi, but, you know, Kawhi left a team and they're still like second in the Eastern Conference. So for different players, I think, you know, it's important to note like how much they add to a team. LeBron leaves a team, that team ends up not making it into the bubble or not making it into the playoffs, or, you know, depending on what year it is. But they end up sucking. Like, he is so valuable to any team and brings the most to it that I think that's who should win the award. A lot of people say that there should be a most dominant player award that would be different than most valuable player, because they do kind of mean different things. Like, dominant could mean you drop like 40 points a game, but maybe you have like, you know, you don't bring that same value to your team as someone else who is like 30, 10, and 10, averaging a triple-double, you know? It really depends on how you look at it. So I think LeBron should win. He probably won't, but I'm still going to say it. Rookie of the year, I think, should be Ja Morant. Defensive player of the year, I think, should be Giannis. Coach of the year, I think, is going to be Nick Nurse, who is Toronto's coach. Like I said, Toronto second in the Eastern Conference after losing Kawhi, which it can mean a few things, because I think it's a combination of like good team chemistry and talent and coaching and all that stuff. But like I kind of said, it also might prove that Kawhi is not all that valuable. I mean, he is an outstanding dominant player himself, but his team didn't drop off, like I said, as a LeBron team or a, you know, maybe another dominant player would do. I'm sure if Giannis was not on his team, they would probably drop off a little more significantly than in this scenario as well. Okay, sixth man of the year, Lou Williams. I solely think he should win this. I know he's already on the list for it because of his play, but I think really what got it for me was the entertainment he's brought to the bubble by making a stop at a strip club for some chicken wings. You know, I might have picked someone else for this, but I think that really just gave him the extra edge he needed to win. So, I mean, he should get it. Sixth man of the year. Most improved, I have Brandon Ingram winning. He went from averaging 15 points to 24 points per game this year. And every other statistical category, he is definitely improved in as well, which is super great. So those are my thoughts on that. But that is all I have for you guys this week. It was a little bit longer of an episode than usual because I actually had things to say, which is so beautiful. If you guys could just leave me a review or a rating, subscribe, follow, all that stuff, you know it. That would be super great. Tell your friends to listen. Hopefully I can, like I said, I really would like to get Dave Njoku to come on. But I'm going to definitely keep reaching out to other players, see what I can make happen. And hopefully now that sports are, like I said, actually back and it's not like I'm talking about NASCAR, we can really get into things. Oh, last thing. Oh, I completely forgot, but was watching the golf tournament this weekend, and I picked Justin Thomas with a double down, and he got me the win, putting me back in the money in the golf pool, and I just wanted everyone to know that. So I had to root against Brooks. It was tough. It was heartbreaking, but I think Brooks blew it there for me, which I appreciate him for that. Okay, review, rating, subscribe, follow, all that stuff. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next one.